Domestic violence has been described as our national shame, and we're also constantly reminded of Australia's problem with alcohol. The link between the two, though, is not being made clear enough. That's a key message from a new study released today into the impact of alcohol on children and families. It will be launched by domestic violence campaigner and Australian of the Year, Rosie Batty, today. This report finds there are almost 30,000 police reports of alcohol-related domestic violence a year. The report is funded by the Foundation for Alcohol Research and Education. Michael Thorne is the chief executive of that foundation. Michael, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
That's a lot of reports, 30,000 police reports of alcohol-related domestic violence a year, Michael. Do we have any sense of whether that number is growing or easing?
I think it's growing. Certainly one of the problems with domestic violence and child abuse has really been the underreporting of both of these issues. This research shows more than a million kids are affected by the drinking of that goes on in families, and 10,000 of those are actually in care as a consequence of their drinking in their families, in other words, mainly by their parents.
So 1 million kids affected by alcohol consumption within their family. That's a hell of a statistic. It's an eye-catching statistic. But it's a, and not to diminish the problem at all, but it's a much lesser number when we're talking about crime, violence and injury and care.
It is. But we know that being raised in a positive environment is really important for the well-being of children as they develop into young adults and then into adults. But I think what the bigger cause of concern is really that nearly half of the domestic violence and family violence incidents have alcohol figuring as one of the factors that leads to the rate of violence that we see, but also the severity.
So just to pull you up there, is what your research found is that you say almost half the domestic violence, the family violence incidents are fueled by alcohol? One person is, or both people, or a number of people, are actually drunk at the time or affected by alcohol?
Indeed, that's our point. And I think that when we look at what to do about domestic violence in our community, that the tendency is to go straight to where a pattern of violence has already been established, that there is a situation where the relationship has broken down. And we're under-recognising, or we're not recognising, the fact that much of this domestic violence and family violence can actually be prevented. And I'm not saying that by dealing with the alcohol's contribution to family violence that we're going to solve all the problems, but I'm very confident that if we accept that alcohol and the way we use it in our community is contributing to this massive problem, that we will reduce the incidence of family violence in Australia.
Yeah, so you're not claiming it's a complete panacea, because there's plenty of research too that shows that domestic violence and sexual violence, and you also deal with that in your report, is as much about control as anything else.
And we need to accept that that the gender issues here is the dominant one, really, when it comes to the controlling of women and kids by mainly men, it has to be said. But I think what this this research shows unquestionably is that alcohol is just adding fuel to the fire, as it were.
What about alcohol more broadly, that million kids affected, going back to that? Because I think a lot of us can get by with thinking, oh, well, you know, alcohol's not been a problem in my family. There was no domestic violence, or there was no sexual violence. But alcohol can affect a lot of people. If you grow up in a family where there's alcoholism, but it's masked or hidden and never breaks out and makes it into the criminal arena, it can still have a very deleterious effect, can't it?
No question about that. And the good thing about this research is that it actually shows how persistent the harms are. So
tell us about those kind of harms at that level.
So what we see in the follow-up survey from 2008, 5 years later, that 50% women were still being affected by that drinking, and 35% of the kids are still being affected. In other words, some parents make the judgment call and leave those abusive relationships and take their kids with, but not all. In fact, far too many stick in that relationship, and that harm continues and it persists.
But what about the level of harm caused if it's not at that level of an abusive relationship? What does the research show about that, growing up in a family where there's alcoholism, but it never leads to abuse?
Well, I suppose it's a matter of opinion about what constitutes abuse. Certainly, I'm reasonably confident that those sorts of family environments are having a deleterious effect on people's attaining their best for their well-being. That they are affected, their learning outcomes are reduced, their employment prospects are reduced, and you only have to look at some of the communities where there are severe alcohol problems, and remote Australia is a classic example of that. That people become unemployable.
So how do we, what's the first step we need to do?
We've got a very alcoholic environment in Australia, and I think that we need to accept that that public health has actually something to offer. And alcohol is too affordable. Well, it's more affordable than it's ever been. It's more available. And the simplest things that governments can do is to remove from the market the cheapest booze, and it can tighten up on the availability of alcohol by restricting trading hours and reducing the number of liquor outlets.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Michael Thorne is the Chief Executive of the Foundation for Alcohol Research and Education, and this report's released today. Rosie Batty, Australian of the Year, is releasing it. It's called Hidden Harm: Alcohol's Impact on Children and Families.